Hi.
Hi, how can I help?
Okay, so I had a question on net metering. I have a few questions on net metering. You know what I'm talking about?
Metering referring to solar?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would be with our customer generation team. They are trained on solar. If you have an account, I can get it pulled up, get you verified, and get them on the line with you.
Okay, I don't know the account number. I could just give you answer any questions you want.
Yeah, the address works.
7990 Horseshoe Bend Road. There's two accounts. It's the one for the house, not the garage.
Okay, so 7990 Horseshoe Bend Road, Boise, Idaho, 83714.
8 3, yeah,
And who am I speaking with?
Richard.
Thank you, Richard. And then just for verification, the last four of your social security number.
5530.
And is a good primary phone number still 208-939-4717?
Yeah, that's my brother's phone number, but it's kind of reliable. Yeah, that would be the best one.
Perfect, Richard. So just bear with me a few moments. I'll get our customer generation team on the line and they'll be able to assist with net metering, okay?
Okie.
Thank you. See you one moment.
All right.
For your patience in holding, Richard. I do have Stephanie on the line. She'll go ahead and take over from here.
Okie
Have a good day.
Hello.
Hi there, Richard. This is Stephanie.
Hi, yeah, I had a few questions on net metering, power generation, whatever. Yeah, okay. So first off, when I switch over my meter to like the two-way meter, the net meter, is there a single cost for that?
Is there a cost for that?
Yeah, switching over the meter, like, do I have, in order to get the new meter, do I have to pony up like $100 or something?
So, if you're looking to get solar, the process starts with the application, and the application does have a $100 fee that's sent by check with the application. Then, what we do is we do what's called a feasibility study. So, we're going to be checking to see what size system you have and if it's compatible with the grid components in your area. And then if it passes, that's awesome. That's when you would want to wait to do that, wait to start work until you get a pass. If it doesn't pass, there's two options. Either reduce the size of the system so that it's compatible with your grid components around you, or you can pay for transformer upgrades. Those can be several thousand dollars though, and that way you'd be able to keep the same size system. Then after it's installed and inspected by an electrical inspector, then you would submit what's called a system verification form to us, and that would prompt us to do our inspection and switch out the meter if our inspection passes.
Okay, so the main reason people get turned down is because their system is like too big.
It can, yeah, that can happen. Or sometimes the system may not even be very big, but there's other people with solar around, so the transformer may already be at capacity because we have to know exactly how much power could hit that transformer at once. So if there's four homes with solar on a transformer, that could be a lot of power. So those are the types of things that we're looking into. Usually it takes about a week to get an answer back. And then you did mention net metering. Were you aware of the change recently into how solar is compensated?
Oh, my guess is if it's like anybody else, the compensation is not one to one anymore.
It isn't, no.
Yeah,
so
that I understand
they're
that.
Billing now.
Okay, so, if like okay, so but I have to pay $100 before I can get any kind of information then?
So I can answer any questions, but if you're looking to start the process, that's the first step. So the application is going to be asking technical questions about the size of the system, what kind of inverters, is there a battery, and then that's what prompts us to do the feasibility. And we always recommend waiting to do any work until you get that feasibility study passed, because if you were to start doing work and then be denied, you might be coming up on an unexpected cost with an upgrade or having to lower the size of your system.
Okay, so I have to, okay, so here's all I wanted to do was I just want to add just a few panels, not enough to have out electricity, but electricity going back out, but it just may happen once in a while, because I saw a video somewhere where somebody didn't have a net meter. He had a whole system, and when he turned it on and it synced in with the grid, it was generating like 10 kilowatts or whatever, and the meter he had was only one-way meter, so it actually, he was billed for the electricity that he was generating. Does that make sense?
Yes, and that is what will happen if you were to install solar and turn it on and there wasn't a net meter. That's exactly what would happen.
Oh, okay. Okay. My plan would be just for a few panels, like four panels, and just it's sort of like give, just help out. Basically, they kick on. Only time they will kick on is okay. So you understand that? Okay, so I'll be using like a microinverters, and they're hooked up. They would be hooked up to. My plan is to have it only hooked up to the load side of the air conditioner. So they will only be hooked up to the grid when the compressor kicks in. Does that make sense?
A little. So I'll let you know, any customer generation still needs to go through this application process if it's going to be connected to the grid. The reason being, there are safety requirements with a solar system, and so basically there needs to be safeguards in place to where if we're experiencing an outage or if we have people working on the lines, that your system isn't able to put power onto the grid, because that could basically jump up the power and kill someone.
Now, does that need to be, that needs to be like automatic, right? So soon as the system senses like the no grid, it shuts off by itself, right? It can't be like a hand, manual switch, right?
Most houses do have a manual switch. They'll usually have a fail-safe where if you have a power outage, unless you have a battery, your solar usually isn't going to be producing, because you need power to be able to convert that power. So if you have a battery, you could still have power during an outage, but usually what we require is called an AC disconnect, and it's usually placed by the meter.
An automatic AC disconnect. Or hand.
Yeah, it still does have a switch. It's like a really big switch.
Okay, it's a big switch that's manually operated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then that's by the thing. And is that something where if they're working on wire, if for some reason the electricity goes out and they're working in my area, they will operate the switch?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. That's how that works, is when they're ready to work on a wire, they'll look at their database and say, oh, Richard's got solar panels. We got to go over there and turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it doesn't need to be automatic. I don't have to buy the auto switch. Just a big,
no.
Big, regular, nice switch that's properly labeled. Okay, so I pay the $100, and it sounds like that $100 is the only cost. I don't, like, if I get accepted, do they charge more for the new fancy meter?
No, it's the same as any residential meter. The only other cost that you could incur during this, besides if you were doing a transformer upgrade, is if we come out to inspect, that's included in the $100
this
that
house
and
has
design
two
fees, basically for our designers to check.
Hang on a second. Hang on a second.
Sure.
Hey, Richard, that doesn't apply. Okay, they're talking about like if you want to generate over 25 kilowatts, then you need a bigger transformer. That's what they were talking about. So let me do this call, okay? Okay. I'm sorry for the interruption. Okay.
So if it fails the inspection from us, the first inspection doesn't cost anything, but the next one costs $52.
Oh, okay. But before I have the first inspection, they will give me enough information to know what would fail and what would pass, right?
Yeah, the most common things are if the AC disconnect is more than 10 feet away, you have to have a plaque showing the diagram of where the AC disconnect is. Also, failure to generate, because basically we're going to see if it works and it is putting power on the grid. And the failure of, like, if the AC disconnect doesn't shut it down, that's what the kind of things that would fail an inspection.
Okay, so if I have a big-ass switch right next to my thing which shuts off the solar, then it should never fail then, unless the switch is faulty. Right?
Right, yes.
I get it.
We've had systems that where the AC disconnect didn't stop the power.
Ooh!
Or where it wouldn't turn back on because it's supposed to give, there's a time limit that your system, and this is usually programmed in, I think it's the inverter, I'm not sure, but once we turn it back on, there's a set amount of time that has to pass before it fully turns on, just to give a little bit of a buffer, I guess. So sometimes if they turn directly back on, that will fail it.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I understand because I'm using in-phase microinverters, and those got that already built in, right?
They should, yep.
Okay, so I don't... So the only thing I'm out for is $100 up front, and then... $52 for every boo-boo inspection in case I don't hit it in the first one, okay?
You got it, yep.
And that, okay, now, after, let's just say everything's passed and everything's up and running, let's just say that, I just don't add two back to the grid, but I'm just, like, lowering my own bill, whatever. Do I have a different rate for electricity, or is it exactly as it is now?
So the amount that you pay per kilowatt hour is the same as a residential customer without solar. The only difference is instead of being a rate 1, which is a standard residential, you'd be a rate 6, which is a customer generation. And then you would get credits for any kilowatt hour that goes onto the grid from your system. And that amount varies. During non-summer months, it's about 5 cents. During summer months, it's about 6 cents, unless it's between the hours of 3 p.m. and 11 p.m., and then it is 17 cents.
Okay, so Schedule 1 is just what I'm at right now, right? Just regular person. Schedule 6 is just home customer generation?
Home customer generation, yeah.
And then what's Schedule 8? Bigger?
Schedule 8 is if you went from a small general service, which is let's say you had a shop or a barn that was used for commercial purposes, that would be a rate 7, and then a rate 8 is if they transition to having solar.
Okay, so 6 is just home, 7 is barn.
Like without solar.
I don't understand.
So,
I guess 7 won't apply to me anyway. Seven just
seven
won't
doesn't apply. Yeah, so that's for folks that have a non-residential house, so sometimes it's like a shop that's a working shop, but they can get solar too. So it's the same concept.
Okay, so for me, 7 and 8 don't apply. And 8 is just for big generation, bigger generation, right?
8 is for basically the small general service or the rate 7s that convert to having solar.
Okay, but 7 and 8 just don't apply to me if I'm just doing a home and...
They wouldn't. You've got that garage meter, but it's still a rate 1 because it's just for residential use. So you have rate one on both of your meters.
Okay. And okay, so let's see. Oh, so here's, I know this is a more technical question. Let me see if I got all my other questions. Okay, so under all the circumstances, or under normal circumstances, my normal power bill won't be any different, except for less for any generation.
It would be lower, yes. So, of course, depending on the size of your system, you mentioned it was somewhat small, but that's okay. So, what will happen is when the sun's out, your solar will first power your home. So, it's going to use some of that, which avoids getting charges from Idaho Power. But then anything left over that the home isn't needing goes onto the grid through the meter, and that's counted for a monetary credit.
Yeah, okay. Okay, and then, okay, now I think I got most of my questions answered, but I just have sort of a technical question. How does the meter know when, okay, so when I start generating power, it sinks into the grid, 60 hertz sinks in, but does it know that it's generating power because my voltage is a little bit higher than the grid voltage, and that's how it knows to go that way instead of the other way?
So it senses the flow of power. There's different channels. There's several different channels because there's different. Basically, since the price is different depending on the time of year and sometimes the time of day that you're generating, it has different channels and it's able to sense the flow of power at that time and basically count it up like, oh, this is between the hours of 3 and 11 where
Well,
you need
I
to get
wasn't
home.
asking that. I was asking how does it detect that I'm generating electricity? I'll just use an example. Right now, my house is 60 hertz at 240 volts. Let's just say that's exactly what it is. Okay, and then I'm guessing the solar system, once it sinks in, it will go 60 hertz, but 241 volts. It's higher than the other, and then that's how the electricity flows out of my meter, right?
So, I think I'm understanding your question. Let me see if I can kind of put together an answer. So, it's always going to be monitoring both the voltage and the current flowing through the circuit.
Yeah.
So,
It can only monitor just that one point there. It'll just monitor just flat voltage and current. Yeah, I will have to.
it's
I
able
guess.
to monitor the flow of electricity in both directions.
And electricity flows outward if the voltage of my system is higher than the grid. Is that what causes it to flow outward?
I wouldn't know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's like an Ohm's law question. Okay. Okay, I can't think of anything else for now. Okay, so what would be the website or the web location for that? Hang on, let me get to. All right. Okay, so I'm on the Understanding Customer Generation page. From there, where do I go to? Hang on a second. Okay, so if I'm just at the idahopower.com website, from there, where do I go to the application page?
Sure. So I would just go to the search bar and type in solar. That's probably the fastest way. And it'll be the second option down, your solar and then
Solar.
the uses.
Okay, solar, and then your solar and other clean choices.
You got it.
Okay, that one. Your solar and other clean choices.
And
Okay.
then solar power options and customer generation.
Okay. Hang on a second. Okay, so I've got like I have like seven choices. Understanding customer generation, read or frequently
Right
asked.
below that,
Oh,
the
apply
next
to
one
connect your
is connect
system.
to your
Boom, boom,
system.
boom, boom. Okay.
And this also breaks down the steps that you would be interacting with Idaho Power on. These four steps are kind of what we talked about at the beginning of the call. So this is a nice page to have, or you know, just email the text to yourself, because it also has the link for step four, the system verification form. When you're done installing, that's what you, when you need to send us that. There's no fee with that one, and it's just a web form. But that tells basically that you're ready for us to inspect.
Okay, but I can't do any of that until I pony up $100, right?
Application will go first. So what this is going to do is you're going to fill out all the components of your system. And then it's going to give you a printable version. There's some disclosures that you need to sign, including that the rates paid for power can change or be eliminated due to regulatory changes.
Okay, so I print it and mail it back, or do I can I like take a picture of it and send it to you?
This one needs to be mailed with the check, because you're basically going to be sending it to our Boise office. They
Okay,
receive the
so the
application.
check has to be paid first before anything happens. 'Cause you're saying there's no way to like, oh, see if I cross my T's and dot my I's and then send a check. I have to like throw out money first and hope for the best.
So, well, that's for the costs associated with doing the feasibility study and the inspection.
Okay.
So,
Okay. All right. I can't think of anything else. Alrighty. I don't have any other questions for now. All right. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.